Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. You ought to write that down. Everybody ought to be able to remember this verse. Ecclesiastes 9, 9. 9 in the Bible is a number for new beginnings, brand new start. And we need those from time to time. Ecclesiastes 9, 9. Everybody got it? All the pages quit thumping around? All right. Ecclesiastes 9, 9 simply says this: live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy vanity. That means it is possible to be married and to be happy. Amen. In spite of what everybody tells you, it is possible. I know all the standard jokes, you know, that if you're married, you got to be miserable or henpecked, or, we see all the henpecked men, all the dominated men, or all the battered and abused wives and this, that, and the other. I'm here to tell you, marriage can be, marriage should be good. Amen. It is what Almighty God designed and gave to us as a gift. And every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so the Bible said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And so I really don't like all the jokes about bad marriage and the coldness and the deadness that goes on between men and women. And but you see it and hear it all the time. And I've heard all the jokes. And some of them are funny. Problem is, people tend to take them and adopt them as a philosophy for life. Amen. You hear about that fella, he married him, his wife got him a mail order bride. And on the way home, they was in the wagon, and the mule was pulling the wagon, and the mule stumbled. And the old boy got out of the mule, out of the wagon, walked around, looked at the mule, and he said, "Mule, that's one." Went on a little ways, and the mule stumbled again. The fella got out of the wagon and said, "Mule," and said, "That's two." They went about another half mile, and the mule stumbled again. Old boy got down out of the wagon, took his gun, put it right on the forehead of the mule, and blew his brains out. Well, man, the woman didn't say another word all the way home. They got home, she started up the back steps of the little old house, and she slipped. He said, "Woman," I said, "That's one." I bet she wasn't looking forward to that relationship, amen? It's like a fella, you know, he got married, got him a mail order bride, and they got to the house, and they came around behind the house and started up the steps of the old farmhouse, and there was a mirror hanging there on the back porch and a big old wash tub. And she said, "What are these for?" He said, "Well," I said, "that's for you to make me a living out of," pointing to the tub. Then he pointed to me and said, "And that's so you can watch yourself starve to death if you don't." Marriage could be rough, couldn't it? That's like a fellow, you know, the wife came to the guy and she said, "You know, today is our 12th anniversary. Why don't we go down to the inn and have a duck?" And the guy didn't even look up. He said, "Why kill a duck for something that happened 12 years ago?" That's marriage gone bad there, buddy. Amen. Fella met his friend getting off an airplane. And had his wife with him and his dog. And his friend met him and they shook hands. And the fella said, "This is my wife, this is my dog Sam." He said, "He sure is a good dog." A lot of bad jokes about marriage. Well, that somebody's got a bad taste in their mouth, and probably their own fault. Amen. Marriage doesn't have to be that way. Marriage can be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Reminds me of these two colored fellas they met, you know, hadn't seen each other in years. And they met and they were shook hands and they were talking and chit-chat, catching up on old times. And the one fella said, "Are you married?" He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "I married an angel." He said, "How about you?" And the other guy said, "Nah." He said, "Mine's still a living." They're not all witches. Some of them are angels from glory. Amen. Now, I believe that marriage is the greatest institution in the world outside of the church of the living God. I think the greatest two things that can happen to anybody is to get saved by God's grace and have the assurance of that salvation, and to marry and have a good spouse, a husband or a wife. Those are the two greatest things you can experience while you live on this planet. And so you're looking at a fella that I think I have some right to believe I know what I'm talking about. I've been married to the same woman 43 years. And we've had good times and bad times. And I'm here to tell you that I can sell marriage door to door. I don't want out of mind. I'm not sorry I did it. It's had its good times and its bad, but so does everything. Everything's got bad times. Everything's got hard places, amen? But a lot of times, if you'll just see your own through, if you'll just stick with it and come out on the other side, it'll come out better than you had any way to believe that it was possible. And so I could sell marriage door to door. You sell Kirby vacuum cleaners, I would sell marriage, amen? I recommend it to anybody and everybody. Why in the world anybody would want to be single in this old wicked world, I cannot possibly imagine. Why you would want to live your life alone, or always be sharing your life with strangers, or folks you know little or nothing about, people that you couldn't possibly reveal your heartfelt secrets to, that you could not pour out your burdens to, that could not share in your past as well as your present. I don't want to live like that. I'm thankful that I've got a wife that God gave her to me, and that we've been married forever and ever and ever. And by the grace of God, we're going to stay that way till Jesus comes. Amen? Now, and so I want to talk to you about this verse tonight. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun. All the days of thy vanity, for that is. Now mark this down. That is what? Marriage. Marriage. That is thy portion in this life. That is the best thing God's got for you, is that husband or that wife that you love. And in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now tonight to give us liberty and power to preach. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would descend upon this place. And I pray, oh God, that he might move in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, young people who are yet to be married. Lord, I pray that they might see how wonderful marriage can be, that they might have an example set before them, something to copy, something to emulate. Lord, that they might live long and prosperous lives, joyfully married, serving God. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I only have 7 little points, and by the grace of God, we won't beat them to death unless I get bogged down. Then you'll just, you know, which happens sometimes when you're preaching about things you enjoy. You tend to say more about it than you intended to say, because you never can say all that you had on your heart. Amen. Now, tonight, I want to talk to you on this thought, the blessings of a long and happy marriage. What a blessing it is, not just to be married, but to be married for a long, long time. And the longer you're married, the greater blessing it really is. Now, when we get married, we take this as part of our vow. We say, in sickness and health, for better or for worse, richer or poorer, until. We put a limit on our marriage, until death do us part. That's a vow we take before God and before man. And honest truth is, for a large part of our society these days, they don't mean that when they say it. What they mean is, I take thee for better or worse, sickness and health, all that, rich or poor, until I get tired of it, or until you make me mad, or until I'm dissatisfied, or until it's going to cost me something, or the burden's too heavy to bear, or you get sick, or you become an invalid, and then I'm going to dump you. Amen. And that's not what you said. You said, in sickness and in health, richer or poorer, better or worse, till death do us part. Now, you either got to be a man or woman of your word, or you got to be a liar before God and man. Amen? Just figure it out yourself. What they really meant when they took that vow, as long as I'm happy, as long as it's fun, as long as it's exciting, as long as the bells ring when I look at him or her. Well, honey, if that's all you're looking for, you ain't going to stay married long, because you ain't going to be married long before the bells quit ringing. Amen. Amen? It's just like anything else in life. It can only be exciting for a little while. Some years ago, we went up to Carowinds. I hate Carowinds. I don't like amusement parks. I don't have anything against them. I just don't like them because I don't like all them dumb rides. Now, when I was 25, it was different. I enjoyed it. But now I'm 60 and got better sense. Them places for kids with no brains. Amen? Yeah. Amen. But anyway, we went to Carowinds, and they got this thing called Drop Zone. And they take you up about, I don't know, 10 or 12 stories and put you in a little seat, strap you in, and then all of a sudden, while you are totally unexpecting, they just drop it. And you just free fall for about, I don't know, 8 or 10 stories or something. Then they throw on the magnets and they stop that thing right before you hit the ground. Now, I was watching, and all the big rides, all the roller coasters and stuff, people were hollering, ah, woo, hey, boy, and they was going down the thing. They was holding their hands in the air. When we got over the Drop Zone, there wasn't a sound. There wasn't nobody hollering. There wasn't nobody screaming. I thought, oh, man, this must be the baddest ride in the world. Ain't nobody enjoying it. And so I asked that little girl, I said, sweetheart, I said, well, how come ain't nobody hollering and screaming over here? Is this ride not any fun? She said, sir, she said, have you ridden this ride? I said, no, ma'am. She said, well, ask me that question when you get back. So I got in it, and we went up and watched the thing, you know, and they dropped us, and not a sound while we were coming down. I got down there, she said, how come there wasn't no screaming? I said, because I couldn't get my breath. You coming down, I mean, they just drop you, you know, and you ain't got no air to scream. One minute you're sitting there, the next thing you know, you're about 5 or 6 floors down. You want to scream after you get through. Amen. Now, that thing was fun. It was exciting. I really enjoyed that. But I'll tell you what, after you ride it about 8 or 10 times, I could have clipped my fingernails, wrote a letter. It was still fun, but it wasn't exciting. I mean, the first time my blood pressure was up. I could hear my heart pounding. What's it going to be like when they drop this thing and you feel the bottom fall out? And I was all excited with anticipation and looking forward to the ride. Amen? But after I rode it a few times, it wasn't no big deal anymore. I still liked it okay, but it was just okay. Now, if you think marriage is going to be super exciting, and every time you look at your sweetheart, your heart's just going to start pounding. You living in a dreamland. I mean, you ain't for real. Life ain't like that. Amen? I've been married to the same lady 43 years, and I still like to look at her. I still think she's beautiful. But I'll tell you what, I don't have that same excitement tonight that I did the first night when they said, you're husband and wife. I was a nervous wreck that night. I wrecked her daddy's car. I backed it into the guy behind me, and I pulled it into the guy in front of me. Amen? I'm an equal banger-upper, boy. Don't get behind me or in front of me. I was a nervous wreck. I was sweating. That's the way it ought to be. But I couldn't live my life like that. Amen? I mean, you got to get down to the real world. You got to come back to reality sometime. Amen? Now, the joys of being married along now. Number one, you ready? I heard this guy on the radio the other day, or this woman, and she was talking about marriage. She's a woman preacher. I listen to them. They're funny. I mean, they're right. And this one was no exception. She was going to talk about marriage in the 21st century and God's prescription for a happy marriage. And she said, now y'all may want to get the little ones and get them busy doing something else so they won't pay no attention, or you might want to get them out in another room because we're going to talk about a very personal subject. Of course, I listened to her, and every kid I know 5 years old and up knows more about it than she did. I guarantee you, son, if they'd been in daycare, they heard a lot worse than that old girl was going to tell them. Amen. Some of you mom and daddies get, oh, I can't believe the preacher said that. Ease up, son. You got a television in your house? I never said nothing as bad as what you hear on that TV. Amen. And you don't get upset at them. Amen. Anyway,
Point number one.
One of the joys, one of the blessings of a long and happy marriage is years and years of trouble-free relations. Say, what do you mean by that? I mean, ain't got to worry about getting nothing.
Amen.
Hello? Now, some of y'all married folks may or may not remember this, but in marriage, I remember before I married my wife. Her mama was trying to give me counsel. And she said, and I'm going to use a word that I don't use. And if I hear y'all using it, we're going to vote you out of the church. You understand me? I'm warning you. A couple days before we got married, I was over at their house, and her mama said, now, Eddie, that's the word. Mine ain't preacher to you, amen? She said, now, Eddie, she said, in marriage, there is such a thing as sex. That was a bold move for her mama, buddy. Her mama's old school. I mean, they just didn't talk about that kind of stuff. Amen? Now, but there is. Some of y'all may have forgotten that. And all the men said, amen, preacher. But in our marriage, one of the primary reasons for marriage is sexual gratification. Amen? If a man cannot contain, it is better to marry than to burn. Husbands, you have not power over your body but your wife, 1 Corinthians 6. Wives, you have not power over your body but the husband, 1 Corinthians 6. Defraud you not one the other, except it be with consent for a season, that you might give yourself to prayer and fasting. Amen. And then come together again, lest Satan tempt you for your incontinency. Amen. And so one of the real reasons for marriage is the sexual or the physical relationship. Well, that relationship is supposed to be without fear and without worry. I give myself to her. She gives herself to me. I promise to keep myself for her alone. That means I'm not going to turn aside to anybody else. She's not going to turn aside to anybody else. And therefore, for the next 30, 40, 50 years, I shouldn't have to worry about anything in the physical realm. Amen. I go down and get a physical, I don't have to worry about them finding herpes. Amen. 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 I go down and get a physical and they draw blood, I ain't got to sit around and worry if it's going to show up and show syphilis or something. Say, why not? Because we have a mutually monogamous relationship. I got one partner, she got one partner. She didn't have nothing when we started. I didn't have nothing when we started. We ain't got nothing now. Amen. One of the joys, one of the real joys of a long, monogamous relationship is that there's no fear. It's years and years of worry-free relationship. And that's the way it ought to be. Amen. If America was chaste like it ought to be, there would not be an AIDS epidemic. If we didn't practice premarital sex, extramarital sex, postmarital sex, and have multiple partners indiscriminately, there wouldn't be any syphilis. There wouldn't be any gonorrhea. There wouldn't be any chlamydia. There wouldn't be any herpes. There wouldn't be any venereal warts. There wouldn't be any HIV epidemic. Amen. I don't know how you live with yourself worrying all the time. I couldn't live like that. Amen. I say, well, we've been having a relationship, but I know them, and they're... Yeah, sure. But you don't know who else they've been with. And you don't know who they've been with. Amen. You don't know what you get. You're buying a pig in a poke, son. Amen. I'm telling you, find you one. Get you one that's a pure woman or a pure man. I believe boys ought to be a virgin when they get married, just like a girl ought to be a virgin when they get married. And I think you ought to live with that one man and live with that one woman until the day you drop dead, until God puts you in the grave. It's not fair for you to expose your mate to something they didn't bargain for when they married you.
Amen.
Number two, not only is it a blessing to have years of worry-free relationship, the blessings of a long and happy marriage include years of comfortable companionship. Comfortable companionship. Now, somebody once said that a rut is a grave with both ends cut out. People say, well, my life's in a rut, meaning they just do the same old thing all the time. Well, you know, that's not such a bad thing if what you're doing is the right thing. Amen. A rut's not such a bad place. Matter of fact, you can get pretty comfortable in a rut. You know where the rut's going. You know what you're going to encounter. I know what I'm going to find in a rut. After I've been around the rut a few times, I know the rut by heart. Amen. Even a slow learner like me can figure it out after a little while. And I know where the bends are, and I know where the obstacles are, and I know how to avoid them, and I know where the place where you can sit down and rest is. I learn that rut, and I get comfortable with that thing. Amen? I'm here to tell you, when you're married to one person for years and years and years, you get to know them. I've been married to the same lady since I was a baby. 17, you're a baby. Amen? I've been married to the same woman 43 years. I know how she thinks. Sometimes she'll get mad at me. She'll say, you don't know nothing about me at all. No, but I knew you was going to say that. She didn't fool me none. There wasn't no surprise there, buddy. I could see that one coming before I ever did whatever it was I did. What kicked her off to make her say what she was going to say that I knew before she said it she was going to say it. Y'all want me to repeat that? That's good, I can't. But you understand what I'm saying. Now you say, well, that's just not exciting. That's so boring. Well, I don't know. Let's look at it on the positive side. Because I know her, if an emergency arises, I know how she'll respond. Amen? If trouble comes, I know how she'll react. We've been there before. Amen? I'm not up in the air. I'm not all in a tizzy. I'm not beside myself wondering how it's going to go. I know how she's going to behave. I know how she's going to react. Because down through the years, we've had trouble, and we've had hard times, and we've had disappointments, and we've had blessings, and I know how she responds. And so I've got a certain stability there based on past experience because I know her. Now you take somebody you've known for 6 months or a year, you don't know nothing about them. You can't learn somebody in a year. Man, they pull surprises on you. You say, I've known them 6 months. Well, do you think you know them enough to marry them? Oh, yeah, well, I know them. No, you don't. For crying out loud, the one you dating ain't never. I'm telling you, the one you date ain't never the same one you marry. The one you was dating was putting their best foot forward. The one you was dating was trying to look good. The one you was dating was trying to hook you. I mean, marry you. Amen? And so they said, where do you want to go tonight? I don't know, you pig. She always lets me have my way. Honey, that'll change. Amen. I'm telling there's some blessings to years and years of comfortable companionship. I like, me and my wife been married so long, we go someplace now, we don't have to talk. Ain't God good? We go someplace and we see something. Or my wife sees something. Now she sees a lot more than I do. My wife is very fixated on this present evil world, and I'm almost always off somewhere else. And she's always calling my attention and saying, did you see that? Or she'll nudge me and go, and I'll look at it and go, and then we look at each other, and we don't say nothing, but I know what she's thinking, and she knows what I'm thinking. Amen? Now, it took a long time to get that down. She used to give me that look, and I'd misread it. And I got in a lot of trouble a couple times. She'd roll them eyes. I thought she was coming on to me, you know.
And she wasn't. But I mean, you know, you get to know somebody. You share some experiences with them. You go some places. You go through some things. And you get to know them. And you get comfortable with them. And being comfortable is not a bad thing. So, well, I just don't find him as exciting as I did when we first got married. Good. You ain't supposed to. You're supposed to get some sense in your head and get your feet on the ground sometime. Amen. I talked to him. A man about, it's been 5 or 6 months ago, down a little plant we do some work at down in Chester. And him and his wife had busted up. And he was all excited about it on the one hand and whining and crying. Matter of fact, I was down there and talked to him 1 week, and he was just singing a blues ready to blow his brains out. And the next time I'm down there, he's just happy-go-lucky Joe because he found him some old fuzzy. And they done moved in together. Ain't been for 3 weeks. That's scary, ain't it? That's scary. What was I talking about? Anybody remember? Boy, I was having fun though. Yeah, that too, man. Years of companionship, you get comfortable. I didn't say complacent, but comfortable with each other. Because you know each other. You know how we'll respond, how we'll react. You know whether we can trust them or not. You learn all those things over time. Thank God for it. I've been married a month so long, buddy. We think alike. People say we look alike anymore. That's okay with me. I've been good for her. Now, so there's one of the joys of the blessings of a long and happy marriage is years of comfortable, relaxed, confident companionship. I know I can trust her. I know I can count on her. And brother, that's worth a lot in these days. Amen. I mean, that's worth a lot. And somebody said, well, this fellow I was talking about a minute ago, he found him another girlfriend, you know, and he's all excited about it. But he don't know nothing about her. Now, I knew more about her than he did. I never met her, and I knew more about him than he. He was just ecstatic about having this girl. Well, she done moved in with him after 3 weeks, and he wasn't married. So I knew a couple of things. I knew she was unstable and unpredictable. I knew she was a whore. Amen. I know he wasn't getting no bargain. Amen. 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 Any woman to make that kind of move and defile herself and play the harlot in front of the world in just 3 lousy weeks is short on character and integrity. Come to find out, she left her husband to live with this guy. She really ain't got much going on. Amen. She'll leave you, she'll leave the next one. Amen. Amen. She left that one, she'll leave you too. You can't count on that. I want one that'll stay there through the fight and through the hard times and through the good times. Number three, one of the blessings of a long and happy marriage is years and years of stability for the children. Now, brother, children are just like adults in a lot of ways. That is, they are psychological creatures. They're emotional creatures. And we have to worry about their emotional, their psychological well-being. It is not enough just to take care of their physical needs. Anybody can feed them and clothe them and take them to a doctor. And you certainly ought to do all those things. We bring them into the world, we are responsible for them. And their physical well-being is our responsibility. It is our duty. But there's a lot more to it than that. We are responsible for their spiritual welfare. If we don't raise them in church, if we don't put God before them in the home, if we don't live godly lives before them, they will not grow up to be godly young people. They will not grow up to serve God. It won't happen. The schoolhouse is not going to teach it to them. They're going to get it at home, or they ain't going to get it. Amen. So we're responsible for their physical well-being, their spiritual well-being, but we are also responsible for their psychological well-being. And I'm here to tell you that when mamas and daddies break up and divorces take place, and listen, I'm not being cruel or ugly to anybody that's been through it. I know that divorce is a heart-wrenching thing for everybody. But I also know that God hates it. The Bible said the Lord hateth putting away. Amen? And I know that nobody goes through one without bearing scars the rest of their life. Now, if you've been unfortunate and had to go through it, my heart goes out to you. I hope you do well after it. I'm not putting you down. I'm not being mean. I wish you the very best the rest of the way in. I hope you finish your race. I hope you find somebody you can love and serve God with. Help yourself. Amen. But it would have still been better had it not happened. Especially for the children. Children are at such a disadvantage in some areas because they lack the experience and the ability to express to us, to convey to us how they feel, how they hurt. Breakup of a home is a traumatic thing. Own children. I've never known children that have, don't have. We give them a tremendous disadvantage. We hand them a tremendous burden that they don't deserve, that they didn't ask for, and that they had no control over when we do that to them. Now, by the grace of God, it can certainly be overcome, but it makes it tougher. We ought not to do it. Amen. It's not just about you anymore. It's not just about your mate anymore. It's about those precious little lives that you and her, him and you, brought into this world who are going to live 50, 60, 70 years. Some of them emotionally handicapped, emotionally disturbed because we crippled them when they were children because of our selfishness and our indifference. You simply don't have the right to do that. Number four. I got to hurry because I'm getting tired. Number four. The blessings of long and happy marriages is years and years of visible demonstration of love for the next generation to emulate. You ever heard mamas and daddies say, boy, them little youngins, they don't miss much. You got to be careful what you say. You got to be careful what you do, because before you know it, they'll be doing it. Amen. I never will forget years and years ago. Now, I wasn't a Christian before I ever got saved. I was working on a car in the front yard one day. And I was up under it, and I was laying on gravel, and I was tired, and it was cold, and I was hurting, and the gravel was killing me. And I used some of that language I had picked up in the military while I was under my car. Now, I did not realize that my son was sitting on the front steps of the house about 30 feet away, listening to my tirade. I got through and got out in front of there and started in the house, and he started up the steps, and he stumbled, and he hurt his toe, tripped him, shinned his knee. I can't remember what it was now. The first thing I know, man, he's using words that I heard just a minute ago. I said, boy, where'd you hear that? What you just said under the car. I mean, they pick it up. They're not retarded. They see, they hear. And them little minds, which are basically empty, are like great big sponges, like great big vacuum. They pick up everything. They are indiscriminate. They get the good and they get the bad. Amen? Now listen, if they learn from what we do and how we behave,
then it's really, really important for us to set the right kind of example. We not only need to dress right and talk right and use the right kind of language and listen to the right kind of music and go the right kind of places and wear the right kind of clothes. It's good for them. It's necessary for them to see a happy marriage. They need to see mom and dad in love. They need to see the love between us. They need to see mom and dad embrace every now and then. Amen. Now, I believe every man ought to be demonstrative. Say, why? Because it drives women crazy. Because most of the time when men want to be demonstrative is when mama's cooking dinner or washing the dishes or putting the babies to bed. Amen. They say, can you not wait till I get through? Hello? How come I got so quiet? Ain't that how it goes? I mean, you come home, you've been out there with that old ugly world all day and looked at all them grimy old men, this, that, and the other, and you come home and here's that beautiful young thing you married, and you just want to be close and let her know you love her, and so you kind of up behind her and get your arms around her, rub her on the little backside, you know, maybe try to get a little sugar. She's trying to cook and the grease is popping on her and burning her. Amen. Now, see, I learned that early on. And I've used that to get what I want. They'll promise you anything to get you to leave them alone. Some of y'all don't live in a real world, do you? The children need to see that there is more to marriage than just you and her fussing and fighting and calling each other names. They need to see that there's some happiness and some joy. They need to see that daddy cares about mama and mama cares about daddy. It won't hurt them to see you smooch every now and then. It won't hurt them to see you embrace every now and then. I'm not talking about being indecent. In a loving way. In an appropriate way. Listen, they need to know that you care about each other. And they need to know that you and her, or her and you, care about them. Amen. You ought to hug your young'uns. Tell them that you love them. Amen. Don't be like that fella. His wife complained. She said, you don't ever tell me you love me anymore. He said, I told you when we got married, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. That ain't enough. I call mine up a dozen times a day. She is threatening to take my cell phone away from me. And if she thought she was big enough, she probably would try. But I know karate, and she's afraid. I call her up all the time. I say, what you doing? Nothing. Same thing I was doing 5 minutes ago when you called. What'd you call for this time? I just want to tell you I love you. Amen. She says, I love you too. And sometimes she says it with feeling and sometimes she don't. I come home in the evening. Boy, I get up from work. I go straight to the house. I don't like going no place else. I want to go home. Say, why? I want to go home and get some sugar. You know, y'all see that little movie, Sweet Home Alabama? Now, you ought to watch that. That's a good little chick flick. And some of you fellas ought to learn to watch some chick flicks. You can't blow things up and kill people all the time. But in that little movie, there's a line, and there's one of my favorites. That little girl said to her boyfriend, she said, why would you want to marry a girl like me? And he says, this is my favorite part, so I can kiss you anytime I want to. I like that, don't you? I like sugar. I like being married. And I want my children to see that I'm happy. I want them to see that my wife is happy. I want my grandchildren to see that you can be married and be married for years and years and years and be happy and enjoy it, because it adds stability to their mind. It helps them to grow up with convictions and purpose. It helps them to see what's right. They're more apt to get married and to stay married if they see good, strong, healthy, happy marriages year in and year out.
Number five. One of the blessings of a long and happy marriage is years and years of exemplifying character and commitment. Now, I know that when Clinton was president, that's back when we had white trash in the White House. That's all he is. That fella, him and that wife of his, both they just white trash. Amen. So when I voted for him, I don't care. I'm ashamed of you. But I don't care whether you voted for him or not. That fella got no character. And one of the big issues in the last couple of years of his presidency was character doesn't matter. It's how do you do the job? Well, how are you going to do the job without any character? Without character, we can't trust you. Without character, you'll lie. Without character, you'll misrepresent. Amen? Now listen. The generation that is looking to us, my children and their children, your children and their children, who are looking to grandma and grandpa, who are looking to mom and daddy for direction and purpose in life to find out how it's supposed to be done, what is acceptable and what is good, they're looking at us. Let's make sure that we give them an example worthy of emulation. Let's show them commitment. I took a vow, and I'll keep my word. I'm committed to my marriage. I'm committed to my wife. And they ought to see that. We'll exemplify character. Not on that, number six. The blessings of a long and happy marriage include years of shared experiences for the golden years. The fellow I was telling you about a minute ago, him and his wife had just bought a new home. They've been married 22 years. Just bought a new home, just had got moved into it. When whatever it was came to light, she was having an affair. She all of a sudden up and left him. Now he's got this little trollop that he's living with, half his age. What a tragedy. Now, he's almost as old as I am, and that's almost as old as dirt. I've been around longer than asphalt on highways. And he's got to live with somebody now that doesn't know his history, that doesn't know his past, that cannot share his recollections. You see, this lady was there when we had them youngins. Man, we didn't have no money. Drove an old beat-up, rattle-trap car and lived in a house that cost $35 a month. We had nothing except each other. And boy, we'd lay there in bed down there, and when we first got married, we was down in Brunswick, Georgia, and we'd lay there and hold each other and dream about what we were going to do. We're going to have these youngins, and we're going to raise them, and we're going to have a nice little house, and one of these days we'd have money to buy groceries. And yeah. We had all that to look forward to. And then the baby started coming. And we made a little more money, and we got this, and we went here, and we went there. And down through the years, the children grew. And our love grew, and our commitment grew, and our experience base grew. And now here we are. I'm 60, and she's 45. We've been together 43 years. Some of y'all ain't got that yet. And we start talking about something, and she knows exactly what I'm talking about. And she'll add some little detail I forgot. Some little thing that has slipped my mind. Well, sometimes one of the greatest things in the world is to be able to sit down with somebody that knows and talk about the past. Amen? We talk about the bad old days, you know, back when we didn't have any money and times was hard. I had an old junk car, and I work on it all week long just to get it to run over the weekend. We was talking about it the other day. I had this old Mercury one time. We drove it from Glencoe Naval Air Station, Brunswick, Georgia, to Rock Hill, South Carolina. That thing was literally, it had a rod knocking when we started. But I knew how to change bearings, and it get knocking real bad. I just stopped, dropped the pan real quick, slipped a new set of bearings in it, throw it back up, and get going. We drove that thing home and back. Had an old 54 one time, I gave $30 for it. Found this old bow and arrow in the back, I sold $30, so I got a car for nothing. But it had a leak. One of them freeze plugs or something was leaking, and you had to keep a couple of gallons of water in the back. You know, you drive 10 miles, they had water, drive 10 miles, they had water. That's the only car we had, though. You just go down and buy tires. I go down and buy used tires. Aren't you embarrassed? I thought everybody did that. There must have been a lot more people than I thought was doing that, because they had a whole rack of them marked. I wasn't the only one buying used tires. Now, thank God, it's been a long time since I had to do that. Amen? I don't know what they get for a used 18-incher these days. But all those experiences raising them kids when they had the chicken pox and the measles and the mumps. And kids go off to school and get in a fight and had to go down to see the principal. All the good things, remember? I remember, boy, when we first got married, you talk about broke son, we were broke. I was in the Navy and I was an e-nothing. And I think I made like $35 every 2 weeks back in 1962 or so. Which wasn't bad money, I guess, but it just didn't seem like it went very far. And payday came every 2 weeks. And you know what the highlight of the deal was? Right down the street from where we live was a Shoney's Big Boy. Now, they don't have the Shoney's Big Boy anymore. It's got Shoney. We used to have a big old fat boy standing there with a hamburger up here. Amen? And they had a movie house downtown. And we would discuss heatedly whether we was going down to Shoney's and have a hamburger and fries or whether we were going to the movie. Now, we weren't going to do both because we didn't have that kind of money. That's the way rich people live. We could either go and get the hamburger, I'm talking about every 2 weeks now, or we could go to the movie. That was a big deal. I'm telling you, I remember we up in Virginia Beach, boy, I forget the name of that place, some little restaurant down there, but they had 21 shrimp in a basket, and they had these little things called puffs, and you get a little thing of honey. And it, what? Pollards, that's what. And it was like $2.50 each, $5. And we would go down there every now and then and just blow it out. I'm talking about living large here. How on the hog, low on the chicken, and have 21 shrimp in a basket with puffs. Hey, remember that? That was a big deal. We went the other night, spent $100 for dinner, and wasn't even happy about it. I mean, not because we spent $100, because we didn't especially enjoy the meal. Because it just don't mean that much anymore. Amen. But you know what I've got? I've got tucked away right in here 43 years of living with this lady. In the good times and the bad times. Hey, buddy, we can look back and recollect with the best of them. We laugh about it now. It wasn't funny back then. Get paid on Friday and sit down and have to plan out the money to make sure I had enough money to get back for gas to get back and forth to work. And if something broke, you was in the hole. Amen. We went through all that. We lived through the hard times. I tell you what, you live in a little bug-infested apartment. We were down in Georgia, and they had cockroaches down there. We're paying $35 a month for this little apartment, and they had cockroaches about that big. That's before they opened their wings and got that big. And they would get in groups, and you could hear them talking. Whether they were going to eat us here or carry us off. It was bad. It was bad. Broke, living in that little old apartment, no family around. I'm here to tell you, son, you can get on each other's nerves.
man. Go ahead, young people, just get yourself right up to here in debt. I recommended to both my daughters when they got married, don't buy a house, don't buy a car, don't buy nothing. Rent a house, drive a used car, get a TV from the pawn shop. Say, why? So you'd have enough money to go someplace and do something. Poverty breeds content. Amen. Yeah. No, neither one of them listened to me. Neither one of them. They wanted to know what they wanted to do. I told them, I said, don't get pregnant. Practice birth control. So what are you telling them all that for? Because I wanted them to take the first 5 or 6 years of their marriage and have enough money to go places and do things and build a relationship and build a foundation on which they could spend the rest of their lives. What do? You go get them babies. You go out there and get in debt. He's got to work. She's got to take care of the kids. He comes home tired. He comes home, she's grumpy. The kids are giving her a fit. And you fuss and you fight. Well, you just got to work your way through it, pal. You did it. You wouldn't listen to me. Don't quit just because it's hard. Don't quit because it's not always fun. Don't quit because she's not always glamorous. Don't quit because he wants to smooch with a beard. Tough it out. Stay the course. Build a life. Build a relationship. Build memories. Have a shared experience base. And one of these days you'll be like us. And Brother Bruce back there, who's got to be older than me by looking at him. And you'll have 30, 40, 50 years of shared memories and shared experiences. And you'll sit there in those golden years and hold hands. And you'll have a life together. And I guarantee you, when you get down to the end, you wouldn't take anything in this world for what you've been through and what you've shared. You'll be singing, "It was worth it all." Amen. Amen. You got to stay, though. Number 7. The blessings of a long and happy marriage is years and years of pleasing God. When husbands and wives stay together, it pleases God. It pleases God. God's not in all this divorce mess. God's not in all this multiple partner thing. He's not in it. God gives one woman to one man for life. And that's the best relationship there can ever be. That's the way God intended it. That's the way it's supposed to be. And when we do it like God intended, when we do it the way it's supposed to be, that's, you have the best chance at happiness doing it right. And the more you deviate from God's plan, the more exceptions you take to God's rule, the less chance of happiness you have. Now, you may experience some momentary temporal pleasure, but it will not last. If you want happiness over the long haul, you must do it God's way. And when you do it God's way and it pleases God, God will bless it. And if you don't do it God's way, you can't expect God to bless it. I was in a man's house a couple years ago. It was wintertime. Heat wasn't working or something. I forget why it was. Went to his house and I knocked on the door and he said, "Come in." I opened a little old side door and walked in, and he's in a big overstuffed chair. He got a glass of tea or something over here, little TV in front of him. And on top of the TV, there's 3 pictures of a woman, all the same woman. Now, I knew when I walked in that house, I took one look around and I saw the disarray and the way things were. I knew a man was taking care of that house. I knew that. I thought this man has lost his wife. I'm working around there doing something, working on a thermostat, whatever it was, and the guy starts. I hadn't been there 3 minutes. He said, "That's my wife," and he called her name. I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I thought it might be."
He said, she died 4 months ago. He said, we've married 51 years. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. He said, well, I miss her. I said, yes, sir, I'm sure you do. He said, it's killing me. He said, I don't know what to do. He said, I've never been so alone and lonely in my life. Well, I just put my tools down. I sat down and talked to the guy about 15 minutes. I was trying to comfort him. But you know something? There ain't nothing you can do. That guy was hurting inside. He spent 51 years with that woman, and it's like his left arm was gone. Somebody just ripped his life apart. The whole time I was there, that old man told me about what Martha used to do and how she did this and how she did that. 2 weeks ago, I had a little lady call and said, we put the new air conditioner in for her. She said, and there's water coming out of it. And said, according to my book, this water's not where it's supposed to be. I said, well, okay, man. I said, I'll come over and take a look at it for you, you know. I figured just kind of say it. I was just going over to pacifier. She spent $3,500. At least I could go take a look. So I get over there, and she's a little white-haired lady about this big. Must be up in her 70s. And she's got the book on the unit and the contract and the extended warranty. And she has drawn a picture. And she's got the side of her house, and there's the unit, and here's the condensate drain coming out, and the X where the water was leaking. It was really cute. And I pulled up there, and I looked at that house, and I thought, this little old lady lives alone. I would have bet anything on it. So I'm around there looking at it. I pull all the panels off, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just condensate because the air conditioner's just sweating because it was hot. But I pull all the panels, you know, and she's out there watching me. She's writing everything down. Pull panel number one, pull panel number two, you know. And she said, Frank used to take care of all this. And she said, I am so unsure of myself. I said, Frank, your husband, 60 years. Got married, she was 15, she was 75. And she starts rambling on about Frank. And I got 20 minutes of Frank. Must have been one heck of a guy. That little old lady loved that guy to death. And she was missing him something awful. But they had all those years together. Now, you know it wasn't always fun. You know it wasn't always easy. But it sure was worth it. Amen? There's some real blessing to a long and happy marriage. What we need is commitment. I love this woman. I want her to say, I love that man. God only knows why, but I do. And whatever comes our way, we're going to face it hand in hand. This is my portion under the sun. This is the one God gave me. And by God's grace, we're going to stay together. And every couple in this place, every couple in this room, or so whatever I have to do, however hard it is, whatever it costs, if there's any way to make it work, if there's any way to make it last, I will not give up on my marriage. Bye. Lord, you know the burden of our heart for your people and for our country. Lord, we know and you know that the foundation of our society, the foundation of our church, rests on the families. Strong families, strong church. Strong families, strong country. Families coming apart, church comes apart. Families come apart, the nation comes apart. I pray, Lord God, you'd speak to some young man, some young woman, some couple. And I pray that they might purpose in their heart, resolve in the depth of their soul to live for thee and to live for thee together. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.